Well, it's good to be here. You know, Peter said, Lord, it's good for us to be here. He said, let us build three tabernacles. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. So, this is a place that I've heard of for a bunch of years, a lot of years, but I never actually anticipated that God would ever allow me to be here in Alaska. In the first place, and secondly, to stand here, I've known most of the preachers that have been here as your pastor, and we have, through various means and sources, heard about you and the work here. And of course, most any place, it's a struggle to do the things of God. Satan doesn't take it laying down. And I appreciate Brother Galloway. And the church here is my instrument on. I think I pushed the button. Can you hear it? Okay. My famous grandson has been up here two or three times. And that's the way I introduce myself. You know, he's famous and I'm a nobody. Has anybody ever seen or heard of Scott Russell? All right, he's a famous gospel singer from down our way. Well, he's been here two or three times, and he is pretty good, even if he is my grandson. I taught him everything he knows. So he got a CD. He produced it himself. He does all the backup, and I told him, I said, I understand you've been to Alaska, if you don't know. Let me take some of your CDs. I'm sure somebody would like to have a copy. Well, he never did bring any. So I believe that he thought I'd sell them and keep the money. I don't know about it. He's tricky. He really is. So it's just good to be here. Just a lot of things I'd like to say. I am time conscious like Jesus was. And I want to get some preliminary things out of the way. We are doing an international shortwave radio program. And I haven't found a soul here that owns a shortwave radio. Now you can buy one, a broadband, it's about $100. And I would just like to have some contact with our radio minister here. We print a newsletter. Every month I give a short message. We tell about where we broadcast, what frequency, and what time that we own. About 8 or 9 times now on the weekend. I publish a letter that has come to us from somewhere in the world. Incidentally, we have another publication that I failed to bring, or lost it. I had just one copy. And through our radio ministry, and our website, we reach every continent on the globe. And that's fantastic for God, because it was His idea, not mine. And we will send this newsletter monthly to you. If anybody would just give us your name and address, where we could send it, and we'd just be thrilled to death to have you on our team to pray for us. Don't you think that Satan takes it lying down either? He fights us all the time in a lot of ways. And dealing with people around the world, they don't even have a clue, even in America. You talk about heartfelt salvation, something you can feel, something you can experience and know about. You know, people, it's like a foreign language to them. So I tried to write three tracts. One asked the question, am I going to heaven? About 18 different things. What are you trusting to take you to heaven? Well, none of these things will take you to heaven. Then we bring in some scripture that tells you how to get saved. We don't have, we are much opposed to the easy believism. Shake my hand, sign a card. But both of these tracts, one is salvation, how to be saved, and know it. And the second one is saved and certain. The fact, the faith, and the feeling. And so we send these around the world. I hope that you would not be afraid to take one of these. And more or less, I've tried to publish them in a way that you could take this. You know, you go into somebody's home or strike up a conversation, and you're scared to death of a Bible, and especially a preacher that carries a Bible. So you can take this anywhere if they will allow you, and you can talk about it and explain it to people how to be saved and know it. We send those anywhere in the world for anybody that asks us. We got also, and I had to travel lightly, my partner, my junior partner, Brother Brian, that I hope will be able to take my place. He's a young preacher. And someday I'm going to get old. And someday God's going to call me home. And so I asked him to load these tracks up in his satchel. And we also get these Ten Commandments. Every church that I preach in, I try to bring enough that every family can have at least one copy. And it is, I think, beautiful. My friend that's a Baptist brother that does all of the printing, and we just pay a little amount for these and we give them away. I don't have anything for sale. Now, we established after our radio broadcast shortwave for 3 or 4 years, we decided, and I have a committee of men in our church that kind of, they're my, you know, my helpers. We're laborers together with God, and I'm the preacher, and they're kind of the brains. And we have on our website about 20 different things, which leads off, branches off into many, many other directions. The most popular of all the things that we publish that you can read, and people read this, it's the most sought after one in our entire list of things, and it's called God's Promises. And here in July, there have been 13,691 people that's pulled up the promises. And a lot of things, we have audio, we have printed material, we have testimonies, and I have 25 or 30 audio sermons on this website. Well, we wanted to grow. Now, I hope you can see my idea. You know, the 4 million that were attempting, they were seeking a way to get this man that was afflicted to Jesus. They thought they brought him to a house and they couldn't get in for the crowd. So they were looking for a way to get him to Jesus. And that's kind of our model, our slogan, our verse, our objective. We want to reach anybody on planet Earth that we can in some manner or another. If you don't have a shortwave radio, and when I talk to a brother about broadcasting, and I'll get into that in just a moment, and then we begin to grow. And we do have these difficulties. God has blessed us to have two Sony digital cameras that are broadcast quality, but we need helpers. We need technicians. Now, down our way, if you hire a man that claims or feels like he's a technician that works for one of our production companies, and we have a lot in Nashville, and they kind of put a price tag on their labor, their knowledge, about $300 a day. Well, we can't afford that. So right now we're just having to do the best we can until we get some more help. And we're praying, it's slow, but it's sure. And now I can visualize, they say one picture is worth 10,000 words. And we do have 3 or 4 short messages on the web already. And you can pull up our web anytime, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 years. You can pull up our web anytime, and you can go to this and find these things, and then we're going to put a video, a live recorded video with some songs. We were going to use our local talent. We got fantastic people that have talent. But when it comes to producing a broadcast quality video, we tried a couple of times, and the lighting has got to be perfect. The sound, you know, we tried one during the daylight. Well, the daylight, the sun would freak out our cameras. And it is highly technical to try to do it right. And so we are soliciting DVDs from our brothers and sisters that are in the business that have a broadcast quality DVD, and we'll put it together, and along with my message, and God willing, we hope within a month that we'll have at least one new one up every week. And that's a big job. So you can have plenty of this material, and I just wanted to mention that and get it out of the way. I'm not here to sell anything. I'm just here to try to enlighten you that I try to use every means that I can to get the word out to the Lord. And this brother, he just walked all over part of my sermon tonight, but that's fine. Sure did. How did you get into this? Well, one New Year's Eve night in Detroit, Michigan, my wife and I were contemplating, well, we're going to drive all the way across town and be in a what we call a watch night service. We go from usually in a combined effort of people, Christians, we sing and preach the old year out, New Year in, usually from 8 to 12. I was even contemplating, kind of arguing with myself, whether I was even going to drive this 30 mile across town. And sometimes on New Year's Eve, you could start out with no snow and it'd get knee deep by the time it's midnight. So we had those kind of things, and you know about that here. Well, I just opened my Bible to a passage of Scripture, and I'd like to call your attention to it tonight. Kind of as a starting point. Now, this is going to be a teaching kind of sermon. I want to show you what we're doing and kind of how we're doing it. And of course, it is totally God's idea, wasn't mine, not mine in the least. I don't consider myself a radio preacher, but I want you to notice in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3, my Bible opened on this passage of Scripture, and it just illuminated. And if you've been saved and you've ever opened God's Word, sometimes you open it, and something just jumps out at you, just like a light bulb turned on. And this did. He said, "Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we may be able to comfort any others who are in need of trouble. By the comfort wherewith we are comforted ourselves, that we might comfort any others that are in any trouble." Well, I did, as every preacher does. I preached this that night. In fact, I walked in, I was already late. There was a dozen preachers sitting around already. And at the break, this pastor said, "I want you to preach after the break." And I knew he's going to call on me, because God had already spoken to me. I knew I was going to preach this message. Well, a preacher, when he preaches, you know, today, tomorrow, he's looking for something else. Well, this didn't leave. It stayed there for days. It stayed there for months. And it stayed for years. And I'd drive, and I'd walk, and I'd ponder, and I'd say, "Lord, what in the world are you trying to tell me? You just won't take this away. Father of mercies, God of all comfort, who comforts us in all of our tribulations, that we might be able to comfort any others who are in any trouble. For the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God." Just over and over, like a phonograph record. for years. I was living in Detroit. Well, God worked it out that I was going to move back to my home state, in particular Nashville, Tennessee. And when the Lord gave me this scripture, now God works awful slow sometimes. And in fact, in my life, and it's just, you know, going fast. And I didn't understand. I got on a bus when Dottie Rambo, they were behind the Benson Company. And this is the most powerful passage of scripture to me that I've ever heard other than John 3:16. So I said, Dottie, I want to show you this. She's a fantastic songwriter. And I showed it to her, well, and she, I don't suppose she ever wrote anything about it. Another friend of mine, Joel Hemphill, a good neighbor of mine and a friend, I showed it to him. He didn't have any reason. Well, why, Lord? Why is this staying on my mind? So one day, by the providence of God, I come in contact with a man in the radio business, and he and I had worked together before. And I asked him what he's doing. He said, I'm working we just built a new shortwave radio station here in Nashville. And he began to tell me, I'd never thought much about shortwave. I knew it was around. I had one. Only 8% of American people have a shortwave radio. And we just toy with it. But people in third world countries, they don't have a local newspaper. They don't have a radio station. And they certainly don't have TVs. And no people that work for a dollar a day can afford anything. But they manage somehow to get these inexpensive shortwave radios. And he told me there's 1,500,000,000 shortwave radio receivers in the world. 1,500,000,000. Well, that was interesting. And he said, our antennas, that we reach 50 nations around the world. Well, that sounded a little more interesting. And then he began to tell me, about broadcast crisis. And that seemed pretty cheap to me because I've been a broadcaster before. So after pondering this, and he wasn't even trying to sell me time. He just told me what he's doing. But this got a hold of me, and I signed a contract. It'll be 16 years ago, come 1st of October of this year. We have broadcast more than 3,500 sermons in these 16 years. We received mail from, I guess, about every nation in the world. Through our website and the radio, we have documentation. We subscribe to a service that can take our website, and they can tell you, like, 100 equals 100%. And they can tell you every nation and what percentage of that 100% these nations have pulled up our website. You know, this technology, the age that we live in, it just blows my mind. And you see, I'm a dummy. I don't know anything about electronics. I can hardly turn a radio on. But anyway, I signed the contract. We started broadcasting 5 times a week. Now we own about 8 times a week. And so we're just grateful. We're glad for what God has done and is doing. And as the brother said, I appreciate Brother Galloway saying, I'm not a big preacher. I'm just not anything. Just a sinner saved by the grace of God. And God, he literally and supernaturally put me in the situation that I'm in, to move back to Nashville, Tennessee, to meet up with a man to help build a shortwave radio that reaches around the world. We've got documentation of 93 nations that have pulled up our website. And so we know that God is out there. We know that people, out of curiosity or whatever, if there are interesting people that are interested in what we have to say. Then he's a father of mercies. He's a God of all comfort. He comforts us in all of our tribulations. And we may be able to comfort any others who are in trouble by the same comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. The Lord even gave us the title, Words of Hope. That's what we do. Give people hope around the world. I can't preach in 15 minutes the whole counsel of God. The best I can hope to do is tell somebody there is a God in heaven and he's real and he can visit you wherever you are. Night or day, laying down, walking, or whatever position that God may find you in. If you'll just humble yourself and pray and call upon him, he will hear you and he will forgive you of your sins. And so that's our starting point. That's why that we are doing what we are doing today. And I just wanted to use a little of this as an introduction. And I want to use the Word of God in connection with what we are doing and try to paint you a picture if I can. In Matthew chapter 24, if you'd like to turn and read there, you that are acquainted with Matthew 24, it tells, the disciples said, Lord, what shall be the sign of thy coming when I'll be the end of the world? Well, he brings down a lot of things, nation against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and families against each other, and on. You could preach a week on this one chapter. But I'm pulling out of context one verse, 14. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world, for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. He said, this is a declarative statement on the part of the holy, eternal, everlasting God, the giver of heaven and earth, that wrote this word of God. He said, this gospel shall. It's just like saying this gospel is going to be preached into all the world, and then he will come. Now, when the Lord wrote this, or had it done, or whatever, I don't think that it may have stirred the curiosity of the disciples around him. How in the world is this going to go into all the world? How's it going to go into all the world, Lord? We're just a handful. They're persecuting and trying to kill us. Well, some of you were a little bit curious, and so was I, until a recent time, a year or so, a few years ago, in John 14 and verses 12, he said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he also do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Greater works I can do than Jesus. Well, that hero, he raised the dead. He gave sight to the blind. He healed the sick. And the miracles that he performed, and here I am, a little worm, is saying that you can do greater works than I've ever done. And here the mystery of it kindly unraveled to me. His going to say that Jesus, in his preaching, that he didn't go any farther than 100 miles in circumference when he's preaching. If he went anywhere, he'd either walk or ride a donkey. And you know, in the last 120 years, they say that we have accomplished more scientifically than we have in all the recorded history of the 6,000 years that we know about. 120 years ago, you didn't have an airplane that you could get on it down in Nashville and fly here 8 hours to go to Europe. You didn't have trains. You didn't have all the modern conveniences like electricity and radio, television. You had none of that until 120 years ago. So God knew what he was going to do and how he was going to do it, and pick up a little worm such as I and others that are going to do even more than I'm doing. But you see here, I can explain to you, friends, how that I can be speaking before a dead piece of metal in Nashville, Tennessee, and it can travel 10,000 miles over the sea and over the land and reach into a little radio receiver that somebody can be listening, and the Spirit of God can convey my message all the way over there. And I have proof that people have heard our message, they have believed it with their heart, and they became born again. We'll say just a little more about that. But you see, Jesus said, this gospel shall be preached in all the world. And he said, you don't do greater works than I've ever done. I don't know how many people that are not all understanding English that listen. They're not all tuned in to my radio broadcast 8 times a week. Neither do they all have computers. But we're reaching 2 different worlds. The radio, we're reaching third world countries where people have just a shortwave radio, and they work for $1 a day. They can't even hardly afford a postage stamp. If they work for $1 a day and a postage stamp costs them $1, do you think a person is going to give his daily rations, his daily income, to buy a postage stamp to send me a letter? How many of you, I'm not asking to show hands, but how many of you have ever written a broadcaster? Probably hardly any of us. So you can see, these people are better, right? Some of them are very, very hungry. Tell me about this God. Tell me about this salvation. I have nothing. I have absolutely nothing. And I'm sick, or I'm poor, I'm broke, and don't have any money. And so I have to tell them, well, you get down on your knees and you cry out to God to have mercy on your ever dying soul. And you know, God tells us, he said, if you'll give me your life and you'll turn it over to me, he said, I will take your life and I will make something out of it, and I will bless you that you will not only have 50 or 60 fold, but even 100 fold. Yes, give me your life. People don't understand that, not even in the United States of America. Turning our lives over to God, and I can take your wrecked life, your confused mind, and your life that you spent on drugs, alcohol, or entertainment. You know, it's a God entertainment down in the 48s. We've got 2 or 3 TVs in our house. We've got about everything. But you see, people are just starving to death. You know, God so created, ordained it in your life and my life, that there's a vacancy in your soul. There's an empty sad that nothing and nobody can feel that except Almighty God. I don't care where you go, what you look, how much money you may acquire or education. God so fixed it that there's an emptiness there. Hollywood, you see how rich they get. You see how famous they are. You see how they live and so forth. And they just about all own drugs or something. These new queens, you know, these Hilton gals and others, you know, they got stardom. They got money. They got all this, but they don't know what to do with themselves. I was a lost boy like that, young man. I was looking. I was searching. There was always emptiness in my life, and the world does not understand that. Almighty God is going to get his rightful place in our lives, or else we'll just go through life and it'll be spent just as a tale that is told. What is the preacher going to say It's your funeral when you come to the end of your way and you're laying there in the casket. What is a man of God going to say about your life? We today are faced like Pilate was. He said, "What shall I do with Jesus, which is called the Christ?" He tried to wash his hands from the blood of this man. But he said, "His blood be upon us and our children." I like to think about, we brought our kids into this world without their knowledge or their consent. And so they're here that God has given us our children and our grandkids, and I even have two great grandkids. And so God has let us be the keepers, all these precious little people. But you can own the whole state of Africa. Now, Peter, when it comes time to die, my dear friend, how is it with your soul? Do you know my Jesus? Have you been born again? And that's the message that I'm trying to tell people all over the world. I want to go to Ecclesiastes. I was raised on a farm, 11 that he lived, and I'll just speak about a few important things in chapter 11. Now, my dad was a farmer, and I was a little chap. But he'd say that we're going to sow seed tomorrow if the wind and it's just right. He had an instrument he called a seeder. Now, I'm not trying to embarrass anybody or make you feel dumb, but I was raised on a farm, and I knew I had the privilege to see from my eyes what a seeder is. It's an instrument about so like. It's got a hopper, a bag there before the seed you're going to sow into this, and it's called a seeder. How many of you have ever seen one? All right, daughter here, she didn't know about this. Okay, a seeder. Now here's how my dad looked at it. I'm going to go out in the morning, and I'm going to test the wind. And if the wind is just right, then we're going to sow seed. Because he knew if the wind was born, was strong out of the east or the west or whatever, the wind would blow the seeds over here in one little section. All the rest of it would be barren, and therefore His time would be wasted, and the seed as well. Now he said, if we observe the wind, verse 4, he said, we will not sow it. And the wind will guard the clouds, will not reach. So my daddy, now he's using natural things to explain spiritual things. God is so smart, and we're so dumb, that if we just look at the simple little things in the Word of God, you know, he can teach us a valuable lesson. He said, "Oh, you sluggard, go to the ant." Sluggard. He's not talking to ants. He's not talking to, the animal family. He's talking, sending you and I a message. He said, "Oh, you sluggard, you go to the ant and consider her ways and be wise. She has no guide or overseer, but yet she prepares her meat in the summer." As a little farm boy, I would see these little ants down here digging the hole, and they would work tirelessly, you know. Well, the instinct, that's all I know how to call it. God would put that instinct in the mind of that little way, that summer is here and winter is coming, and you dig a hole in the ground, and you find a crumb, you find food, and then you put it in that hole. And if that little ant couldn't get that big crumb in that hole, you know, they round up two or three more ants, and three or four or five of them would be pushing that crumb or whatever they'd found into that hole. Yeah, they have no guide or overseer, but they prepare their meat in the summer. Jesus said, I got to work while it's day. Night is coming when no man can work. And we got to work while it's useful. On our part and on the part of our friends and kindred. So if you observe the wind, and that's what a farmer will do, well, he said, as thou knowest not what is the way of the Spirit. I love that. Nor how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child, even so thou knowest not the works of God which maketh all. Can you, if you are a nurse, anybody, nobody can tell you. They just know it happens. You know, the seed is planted into the womb of the mother, and that seed lies in the womb, and it begins to form. And I don't care what the smart people say about evolution, anything God made man and woman, and everything is to bring forth after its kind. That's what I believe. You're begotten of an earthly father and conceived of an earthly mother and born into whatever you are. And to go to heaven, you got to be begotten by the Word of God, graveyard tale, sorry, whatever. Things, it won't work, but the Word of God, it will pierce your heart. It will make you lose sleep. It will make you disturbed in your heart and your life because you're not prepared to meet God. And so when you're begotten by the Word of God, and that Word lodges in your heart, it may take a year, it may take 10 years for it to lay there and die and germinate. But when it's fallen on good ground, it says it's going to die and germinate. It'll bring forth seed, some a 60, some a 100-fold. That's exactly what it'll do. So you got to be born by God with the Word of God, conceived of the Holy Spirit, and born into the family of God. You don't get there any other way. Okay. I want you to get this. You don't know the way of the Spirit. Now how the bones do grow in the womb of her that is with child. And even so thou knowest not the works of God. Oh, I love this next verse. He said, in the morning, sow ye seed. And in the evening, you withhold not. Because you don't know whether this or that or they're both alike shall prosper. You just don't know. All you do is you just go out and sow it. In the services that we've been in, those little kids, 2, 3, some don't even know what's going on. 1, 2, 3, 4 years old. But the word being sown in these little hearts, they said, bring up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he shall not depart from it. There's just something about raising up that precious little child under the sound of the gospel, and they hear it, and they want what dead mom has got, and what those church people have, and what they testify about. And so in the morning you sow your seed. I don't care what the weather looks like. I don't care how or what kind of resistance that your family, your friends, or your kids may offer. I'll tell you, the harder they are, the harder they fall. Yeah, I was a 22-year-old, conceited, high-minded, anything you want to call it. But I'll tell you, God, it's taken a death to get to me. And I'll tell you, God did a good job of it too. I thought I was dying after going to church one night. So, in the morning sow your seed, in the evening withhold thy hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper either this or that, or they both alike shall be good. I don't care how big it is, you think I'm off up here in Anchorage or in Alaska. We don't have any churches like we had back home or wherever. And you know, I went to Japan. God called me to go to Japan. I was pastoring a thriving church. And one Tuesday in August, this month, God spoke to my heart. I was burdened. And I was troubled. And I said, Lord, what is this burden about? He answered in one word. Said, Japan. And I sold everything that we had. Back in those days, used furniture was just about priceless. We sold everything we had, bought about $1,000, and bought a boat ticket, a one-way boat ticket, and went to Japan. I went there to live the rest of my life. I wondered, Lord, how's my kids going to hear the gospel over here and be saved? My little daughter, they always wanted to get to say, Daddy, how do you know when God's speaking to you? Daddy, how do you know when you're lost? How do you recognize the voice of God? All these questions begin to come up in her little mind. Don't ever push your little kid away. Say, go shut up. You know what, you're too young. Well, I'll tell you what, kids today, 5 years old, got more sense than I had when I was 16. Don't ever push that kid away if it's inquisitive about the things of God. Just let that seed be sown. Let them see and observe. And you know what? When the power of the Holy Spirit convicts that heart, it's a feeling that you've never had before. You know, the song said, it's a voice that I've never heard before. He didn't speak to me audibly. But I tell you, he spoke to me in a powerful, powerful way. I thought I was dying. I sure did. Now, you may not have felt like you were dying. You know, I didn't know how to get saved. I'd been to church, yes. I knew you had to get saved to go to heaven, but I didn't know how. I didn't know what's supposed to happen. People give these bright testimonies. I saw Jesus. I saw light. I saw a cross. Oh, I couldn't doubt it. I ran the aisle. I hear about people running the beaches, running the aisles. Well, that night when God convicted me, I just had a burden lifted. I didn't see anything. Just a burden lifted. Devil, he told me before I got off of my knees. He said, don't you tell nobody you're saved. You ever whisper in your ear like that? He didn't mind. And I got in a state of doubt. The devil said, see there? My next door neighbor said, oh, I couldn't doubt it on earth. I shouted all over that place and down in Dalton, Georgia when I got saved. The devil said, see there? You don't have nothing like that. And I did. I got in a state of doubt. And sometimes I think we make our congregations and believe that you got to come to the altar 3 years, and I'm not against that. You know, if you have to do that to get to the place that you're willing to repent and ask God for the forgiveness, so may it be. But on the other hand, I had tried to pray on this. We had a pretty big farm in those days, 200 acres. I tried to get saved in my way. You don't dictate to God, tell him how to save me, where to save me, how to let you feel, or nothing. That's God's job, you see. And so I tried to pray my own little way. Didn't get nowhere. But that particular Friday night, when God convicted me. Now, you know, here's the problem we have with this easy believism. You just come quietly down the aisle and give me your hand or sign a card. You know, it's just, you know, actually, it's nothing to it. You don't just turn around the road. Well, not as he knows of. You see, pains of hell got hold up on me. I realize a little 7, 8, 9-year-old kid has not committed all the sins that I had. And usually it doesn't take them long to get saved because their hearts are tender and innocent. But you know what? That night, when I got willing, and this is a doctrine that we believe, I preach it, no man can come unto me except my Father, which is in heaven, draw him. See, there was other times that I tried to pray, there was no drawing power of God, but that night, it was different. And I got saved almost by the time I got on my knees, just about that quick. It is so quick, when you think you're dying. And yeah, I thought I was dying. I said in our meetings that you could get a CD from it from Brother Keene, I'm sure, just for the production cost, that he'll give you one. And I don't want to get into my conversion again, but nevertheless, I got saved. It was hard to get to that place, okay? It was hard. It was difficult. But when I got to that place, that I was willing to surrender, and that seemed that quick. Yeah. Yeah, it was that quick. So let's go over now a little bit further. We don't understand. You can't figure God out. Not on a slide rule, nor other thing. In Isaiah 55, verse 8, he said, my thoughts are not your thoughts. Okay? It happens different just about every time. My thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts your thoughts. He said, for as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven, and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth the bud, that it may yield seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. Now, I love this. He said, for my word is going to be that goeth forth out of my mouth, and it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper the whereunto I send it. I don't understand how you can go in a church building. You can be sitting side by side somebody. It not even touch that person over there, but it just comes and pricks your heart and just sends you, as it were, right down to nothing. And you know, you're so humiliated and you're so broken in your heart and spirit, and you don't care if 10,000 people are watching. You want that burden taken away. We just don't understand it. We can't predict it. We just don't know that it's going to go and it's going to prosper in the Word. He said, I send it. As I said earlier, I can't tell you how I can speak to a piece of metal. And it can go through those highways. So Jesus said, you're going to do greater works than I've ever done. He never did do that because he didn't have the vehicles. And how the instruments. So I'm going to use everything that God will put into my hands to try to get the gospel anywhere in the world. I've been around too long, and I have seen too much and felt too much and experienced too much for anybody to make me out a liar and say, you don't know what you do. Well, people, when I started this radio broadcast, even some of my own, it won't amount to nothing. That guy don't know what he's doing. Well, it wasn't me, it was the Lord. Memorize Philippians 3:13. For it is he, God, that worketh in you, both the will and the do of his good pleasure. This idea was God's, not mine. I wasn't smart enough to put it together. So we don't know. But it's going to accomplish that which he pleases and prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. So I'm glad today that God is in control. God knows what he's doing. We sometimes think, you know, I have to say, Lord, when I get up and try to preach. I like to feel that God is with me every time I get up. But sometimes I feel so distant from God. People are not getting saved. And people are turning a deaf ear. But we're living in that day when men's ears will be, tickled. That's what they want. Entertainment. The great God entertainment. Entertain me, you know. I'll come to your church if we can have a shindig or hoot nanny, as one preacher calls it. Some of you live long enough, you heard about a hoot nanny. But you see, none of those things pierce the heart. It may get in your feet and make you want to dance and in your flesh, but it won't do a thing for your soul. No, nothing. Now, I believe this. Paul said in Romans 10:1, brethren, my heart's desire, prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. He said, I bear them record, my own people, what he's talking about. I bear them record to have a feel of God, but not according to knowledge. Now notice this. He had a desire to reach his own people. And now he goes over in verse 13. He says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And I believe that. That's the word. But he asked four questions. And this is kind of where I enter in the great economy of God. Every man has to rise or fall at his own Lord. God gives some of us a particular job to do, a specific work. But I read last night, I think in our services, where God said in the church, first apostles and prophets and so forth, and teachers, the helps. H-E-L-P-S. That didn't give a lot of explanation. I told the other night about a little business card. Ushers in the churches that I pastor, I try to ask them to be attentive to a visitor who comes in and try to get their name and address if you can. And I'm going to knock on their door if I can within before next Sunday. And I'm going to go in and I'm not going to try to get him on his knees necessarily. I just want to let him know that I love him. I'm interested in his soul and above all that God loves him. He wants to talk about boating and fishing and hunting. I don't know a lot about it, but I'm willing to listen. I gave an illustration, and I have proof of that. One fella, he visited my church. I went to see him before next Sunday. I said a few words to him about his soul. I had a word of prayer, and I left. And don't you know, sometime that night, his mother-in-law called me and said, Brother Brown, he said, you know you went over to talk to my son-in-law? And you know what? He got saved after you left. Well, I didn't try to get him saved, per se. I just talked to him, see? This lady that came back to me that night, now this church that I'd never been in before in my life, the preacher said, if there's somebody here and you're interested in them, said, go back and just shake their hand. And she came back to me, and I knew where she was coming. I knew where she was headed. She just reached out her hand and said, son, have you been saved? Oh, there's something about the move of that lady that God used it and put me under conviction to the point I thought I was dying. So friend, Paul said, now I want you to notice this. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? Question number one. Question two, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher, and how shall he hear except he be sent? You call the preacher here to pastor you and try to reach this community. I hope he'll try to do it, Brother James over here, in every way. I showed you the tracks, and we pay a quarter apiece. A little high, you'd get them cheaper, but this is that good print. If I go in the post office, in the counter, I lay this down. Somebody's got a computer, he's going to pick it up. And somebody's just asked for comfort, for direction, and instruction. You pull up words of hope. And you know what? Somebody's going to do it. We lay them down anywhere we can. Give them to people. And so any way that God can use you to witness about the Lord Jesus Christ, you do it. I guarantee you if it falls on good ground, it falls on a hungry soul, somebody you just happen to catch them at the right time. There's a young lady in our town in New York City. She was in college in New York City, and she came out, and some lady handed her a tract like one of these. I don't know what the lady said to her, but she was a young girl. And through that woman's witness and handing her a tract, God used that young lady got saved. And I walked into, I worked a little for the Bedford what a business hero in Nashville, Tennessee. And she didn't know me from Adam's Offset. I walked into their business, introduced myself, my name, and you know, she said, "Can I pray for you?" I said, "You sure can." I hadn't told her that I was a preacher. And she prayed for me, and we got acquainted, and she told me her experience. Oh, what glory. Can God save somebody in New York City? Can God save somebody in Detroit, Michigan? He can save them anywhere, even in an airplane, even in a foxhole. How are they going to hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Every prayer that's ever uttered, every nickel that has been given to us for our work, we thank and we praise God for that. I hope when I come down to my dying day, I'll be 80 years old, March 13th. I just hope I can say what Paul said. I'm an hour old man. The time of my departure is at hand. He said, "I fought a good fight. I'll finish the course. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which Christ shall give me, and not to me only, but all them that love his appearing." I hope you'll meet me there. I'm going to be there. Hallelujah. I'm saved by the marvelous grace of God. And I do thank you for this glorious opportunity to come here and witness on the salvation of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And if I ever am permitted to see you again on this side of eternity, if you're born again, I'm going to see you there. Praise God. Praise God for this opportunity. Brother Keene was a young boy in his family's church. In his church, he wasn't saved, but something about what I said, or maybe the life I lived, or whatever. You know, there's a saying going, you talk the talk and you walk the walk. So he got saved, and he called me. I knew he'd come here, we'd converse. And he said, "Would you consider coming up here? We need your help. We need you, you know, to kind of give us a guide, give us a little information, your experiences and whatever. I haven't done all that much. But if I can help, if I have dropped a little seed into your heart, my few visits with you here, then I know God can take it. And he can pray, and it can lay in your soul, in your spirit. It may be a year, it may be 5, until that seed germinates and it brings forth. Even since I've been here, this young man, I believe, said to this church, this church, said, I've been called to preach." Amen. You know, that's a blessing. He's got a difficult road ahead. It's not rosy to be a preacher. They tried to kill and did kill some. So I thank you, and I guess I've been a little long-winded, but I've spoken my heart tonight. This is how I came to be in duty from all physical that I pastored non-stop for 40 years. We give out pastoral work and do this time of life. Well, you're finished. You know, nothing, you're not pastoring, you're just a little radio preacher. Well, whatever way they have of measuring, God is the judge. He's the one that dishes out rewards. God bless you. Man, I tell you, I hope this here someday, just building the skills. Heal to his capacity. You know, people in Alaska, just like we are in Tennessee, they're hard-hearted. Yeah. But I tell you what, God, you know, he knows how to work on the hard-hearted. He sure does. Don't give up.